Good morning. Can anybody tell me what that means? Margaret?
No motel rooms left.
No motel rooms left. You're sleeping in your car. Yeah. No vacancy, which I don't know if, I guess I hadn't paid any attention, if motels still have that or all this online scheduling. I don't know if they have it or not, but yeah, no vacancy. There's no rooms available. No rooms available. You'll understand why I put that up here in just a minute. One of my favorite passages is Hebrews 11 and 6, where it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, he really exists, that he is a rewarder, he responds, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is available." Available for what? Well, in Titus 2, starting in verse 13, Paul says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So he is available. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He is available for what? A relationship. A relationship. A relationship involves at least two beings who share feelings for each other. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. They think about each other. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Psalms 8, 4 and 5. And they interact with each other. Matthew 7, verse 11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" It is a relationship that he wants with us. One where we share feelings for each other, we think of each other, we interact with each other. And God has done everything on his side to make himself available for us to have a relationship with him. "By his divine power, he hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." 1 Peter 1 and 3. But that alone doesn't make a relationship. A good relationship is based on a mutual giving and taking between two parties. But how can we possibly give back to God and Christ to make it a relationship? I mean, he's given everything he can on his side, everything. What could we possibly give back to him to make it a relationship? Well, we know that we can love him by keeping his commandments, John 14 and verse 15. We know that we can think about him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing to him. Psalms 1 and 2 says meditate on his law day and night. So we can think about him. We can love him. We can love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Luke 10:27. But with all his giving, we can sometimes get in the habit of just being happy taking all his gifts. Just kind of like a sponge. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. But a relationship of give and take, and a relationship of an exchange, is missing, or seems to be. Without an exchange, without an interaction, there isn't a relationship. So how do we do that? How do we contribute our part besides, like I just said, love him by keeping his commandments, think about him, pray to him, worship him. How do we contribute back to God in this relationship so we can relate with him? Because I don't want to be one of those people that Christ spoke of in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, who thought they had done so much for God at judgment, and God says, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. I want him to know me, and I want him to know you. I want to interact with him and have an exchange with him. He's done all he needs to do on his part. But what about my part? We're going to take a look at some examples of how we can do that. One, God has been generous in his giving to us. This is a little bit like being a child and buying a present for your father. You go borrow his money. Don't borrow his money. You ask for his money so you can buy him a gift. What do you buy somebody that has everything? What do you buy somebody who has need of nothing? Luke 6 and 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God gives to us, we give to each other. He keeps giving to us, we keep giving to each other. We stop giving to each other, he stops giving to us. When we give to each other what God has given to us, we are in a relationship with him. Not just with who we're giving it to, with him. God hears us, pays attention to our requests. So how am I supposed to, how do I respond back to that? How do I exchange with that? Well, in Isaiah 58, God says, if we hear the cry of those in need and provide for their need, then when we call on the Lord for help, he will hear us. He will say, here I am. So when we listen to people's cry for help and we help them, then God says, I'll listen to you. If you can't listen to each other, then I'm not going to listen to you. But I will listen to you. But you need to listen to each other. And when you listen to each other, you are relating with me. 1 John 3, starting in verse 16, says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Listen to one another. Show love for one another and care for one another. And that is like we are giving it to God. God gives us forgiveness of our sins. In our friendships with one another, we forgive each other, or we wouldn't be in friendships very long. We exchange that. But I can't forgive God of his sins. He hasn't sinned. So what do I do? Matthew 6, starting in verse 14, Jesus says, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Paul says in Colossians 3 and 13, Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. God has already offered us forgiveness by Christ's sacrifice, we just remembered this morning. He's made it available to us. But if we're going to have a relationship with God, we must forgive each other when we've been wronged. If we don't, then it's as much as if we're saying no to God. We have no relationship with God. And God says, I will not forgive you. God has been so merciful to us by not giving us what we deserve. How do I show mercy back? James 2 and 13 says, For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Jesus says in Luke 6, starting verse 27, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. How do I exchange back to God for his mercy to me? I give mercy to you, and you give mercy to me. When we're willing to take a loss rather than seek justice from another, we're responding to God's mercy. We are relating to God. It's as if we are doing it to God. God has given his son's life to be able to claim us as his children. So what do we do to return that? Matthew 10, starting verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When we claim Christ as our Savior, then Christ proclaims that we are his to his Father. It is a relationship. It is an exchange. God has also given me food, drink, shelter, clothes, cares for me when I'm sick. How am I going to exchange for that? Matthew chapter 25, starting verse 31, Jesus said, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answering say, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. So when we feed the hungry, when we give drink to the thirsty, when we give clothes to those who have none, when we take in strangers, when we visit the sick or in prison, it's like we're doing it to God. That's our exchange. That's our relating to God. Then we are in a relationship with God. Are you starting to see a pattern of what having a relationship with God is like? It's not about hoarding all of his gifts, blessings, saying thank you all the time. It's good to say thank you. Good to recognize where they're from. But if our relationship is just about soaking it up, then it's not a relationship. We would call it being used. Being used. God doesn't want to be used. He wants to be in a loving relationship with us. One where there is interaction, giving and receiving. And we, most of the time, give. Or he gives, and most of the time we receive, it seems like. But when we give to one another, we are exchanging. It's not just about praising him, worshiping him, and trusting him. There is more to the relationship than just those things. God says, I will take care of you if you will take care of one another. He says, I will give to you if you will give to each other. I will be merciful to you if you will be merciful with one another. I will forgive you if you will forgive one another. I will hear you if you hear one another. I will claim you if you claim me. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. That being the case, my relationship with God is broken down several times. Not because God hasn't carried his into the way of the relationship, but because I haven't been available. I'm first in line when he's giving things out. When he's calling for something from me in this relationship, I'm often like the story that Jesus told in Luke 14, starting in verse 16. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Never quite understood that one. Anyway, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done, and as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." I don't know about you, but that scares me. That I could soak up all of God's wonderful gifts and then get to judgment and he says, "I don't know who you are." All because I was not available to have an exchange with him. I wasn't available when someone needed some food, some clothes, some compassion, some love, some mercy, some forgiveness. I expected God to hear me and respond when I asked him something, but I wasn't available to listen when God was asking something of me. We sing songs like, "When my Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name." We sing, "Here am I, send me." But when I have an occasion to give back to God by giving someone some food or visiting someone who's sick or being merciful to someone who has wronged me, I have all kinds of other plans. Plans that don't allow for that. Excuses. What are some reasons, I say that in quotes, because it's probably excuses. What are some reasons that you've noticed, whether in yourself or others, of why you aren't available sometimes when God's asking you to do something? What are some reasons that you don't respond? One of mine is, it's not on my list. I've got a list, and if I put that in there, the list is going to be shot. I'm not getting anything else done that I need to get done, so it just doesn't fit. Okay? Any of you think of any other reasons? What's that?
Don't want to.
Too tired.
No time.
Scared of failure.
Not good enough.
Not my problem, Luke.
Okay.
Other plans, Derek? Okay.
Okay.
I need to get my own stuff in order first.
Ah. Wow, I can't print. That's not an excuse.
I didn't notice.
Right?
Maybe you don't care for that person because you don't know that person.
Don't care.
What's that? Not control.
Yeah.
Fear. Most of those can be boiled down to some fear. And usually the fear is for me, right? It's I'm afraid for me. Sometimes it's cleverly couched so that we don't notice it, so we don't have to admit that. But that's what it is. For example, the story of Jonah. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and teach them to repent, because they didn't know left hand from the right, Jonah was not available. He's like, nope, I think I'm going on vacation. The other way, gets in a boat, but God stops him. God stops him. And so reluctantly, Jonah went to Nineveh. And when the people of Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes and God forgave them, Jonah was mad. Because he didn't want them forgiven. He didn't like those people. And God was not happy with Jonah. And Jonah's relationship with God was in jeopardy. Jonah was more than willing to accept God's forgiveness for his sins, more than willing to accept God's grace, more than willing to accept God's mercy, but he wasn't interested in sharing it to have that relationship with God. We all probably find ourselves in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, starting in verse 30. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Sometimes I'm like the priest. Maybe it's not because I don't care. I just don't have the time to address the need. I've got other plans. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Sometimes I'm like the Levite. Maybe I'm not willing to sacrifice anything of mine for somebody like that. I mean, after all, I don't know what circumstances they put them in this situation, and it might be dangerous to get close to him. Nah. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, Jesus says, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showeth mercy to him. Then Jesus said to him, Go, and do thou likewise. Sometimes I'm like the Samaritan, who made himself available despite whatever other plans he had that day, because somebody needed help. And he had the ability to give it because it was given to him from God. Those are the times when I'm having a relationship with God. Not when I'm the Levite and the priest. That's when I am in an exchange with God. What I want us to consider this morning is this question. If God were as available to you as you are to him and to your brethren to give support, comfort, encouragement, love, how happy would you be with him? If God were as available to you as you are to him and your brethren to give support, comfort, encouragement, and love, how happy would you be with him? Would you wonder if he was even there? Or would you know for sure he was? By giving these things to each other, we are in a mutually giving and receiving relationship with God. It's as if we are doing it to God. You can count on him, for sure. Can he count on you? Do you have room for him? Do you have room, or does your sign say no vacancy? Do you have room for one another? Is fear getting in the way? Well, perfect love casts out fear, and God has perfect love. You can get over the fear. So I want us to think this morning about how available are we. We may love God. We may think about God, we may worship God, we may praise God, we may pray to God, but are you available? To exchange with God. If you have not started your relationship with God, he's made all the preparations, just like that supper. He's made all the preparations for you to be with him in heaven for eternity. But you must come to him and believe he is. Believe that Christ died to save you from your sins. Repent of your sins and be buried with Christ in baptism to remove the barrier between you and God. Because he wants that relationship with you, but he can't have it if you keep holding on to that. Then you can rise to walk in a new life with him, a relationship with him. You can relate with God Almighty for eternity. If you've been in a relationship with him and you've broken away from it, you've left, he's still done everything he needs. He's left the door open. He's still available. He's waiting to restore his relationship with you if you're willing to repent and come back to him. God wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He paid a terrible price to get it. Will you make room for him? The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.